You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Hello and welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a part two of a trilogy of podcasts.
It's all in all different cast.
Cats?
Cats.
We don't have cats. So as you can hear, we have Mr. Gene.
Hi.
Hey. One clap.
One clap.
And we have a special guest. I didn't drink, and yet I'm okay.
The contact high.
Yes, the contact high. All right. So we have a special guest joining us, and her name is Melinda, but I call her Tigger.
Howdy, folks.
So thank you for joining us, Tigger.
It's a privilege and an honor to have you on our show.
And it's your world, your way.
That's right. Your world, your way.
Say it over and over again.
So Tigger and Mr. Gene and I had worked with Borders, and we worked together on that job, and we also worked with Oceana more, somewhat.
They'll never find that plane. It went down. It's never coming back.
So it's kind of a weird, nice reunion of our world, so to speak, our way. See, I could tie it in. But today, we're doing a fan take on Batman and Superman.
Carlos would be proud.
That none of us has seen so far, even though it came out 3 days ago.
None of us seen it, and that's okay. Because we're good enough, and we're smart enough. Gosh darn it. People like Gene.
We're imaginative.
No, you don't. I have to pay. Your checks won't clear. I don't know.
All right, so Tigger being the first guest, and maybe our only and last guest, I want you to go first to talk about either hero, Superman or Batman, and talk to us about why you like either or both. So,
or dislike.
No, not yet.
Well, I definitely like both as far as comic-wise and cartoon-wise. I've been very happy with most of what I've seen. Movie-wise, you know, Batman is kind of hit and miss with a couple of the actors. Superman, you know, you grow up watching one actor and that's kind of all you can see. So it's hard to kind of move forward into new characters, new people playing the character rather. But I am actually looking forward to the film coming. You know, we'll see how it goes. I'm a little skeptical on how Ben Affleck will do. The trying a little too hard to be brooding, I think, but we'll see how he can pull it off.
But isn't that Bale's fault for making that call?
Is his underwear on the outside or the inside this time?
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole new All 52. They don't wear underwear anymore.
They're going commando.
They're going commando.
Freeballing it is.
That's supposed to get you into the theaters, dude. It's not going to do anything for me.
Yeah, I don't want to see the beefcake in the suitcase.
Bangers and mash? No, Pat.
Pat meat. What? All right. So, Gene, what would you like to add?
That I like about the idea? I like that we're finally getting a bit of a cinematic view of The Dark Knight Rises. Hmm. Is that right? No, Dark Knight Returns. Sorry. Dark Knight Returns. The Frank Miller thing. That's what the whole thing is. And I've been wanting this since, oh, God, what was the Will Smith movie where we saw he was the zombies?
Oh, I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, yes. Since that logo
that
showed up in New York City,
as
he drove around.
Quick shot.
I'm like, wow, that that was possible in that alternate universe. We're finally getting a taste of it.
Right.
And I'm pleased about that. I'm pleased that DC's finally gotten their stuff kind of together to put this out. I don't think I'm going to see it twice. But it's going to get everyone's money once.
Yeah.
You know, because it's such a big thing. But the thing is that's interesting to me is that no one was like, yay, let's go see the movie. It's like, yeah, it came out. But it made, the fourth largest opening, I think, in March.
Yeah, 170 million domestically and overseas total is like over.
Destroyed the Hunger Games. It's
yeah.
fine. It's,
so
it's, yeah.
it's close to making its money, and it's going to make it then some. So we're okay for right now to think that Zack still has a job. To direct Justice League.
I don't
League.
Know. Hitler said no. That's a Facebook thing.
I am kind of worried that they're bringing Wonder Woman into it a little early. I think it's going to be premature for her character to be there already.
Which is the other problem, too, is that we Gene and I talked about this, is that if this movie had come out with, let's say, during the time of Christian Bale, maybe what, 10 years ago.
Ha!
And Marvel was still beginning to start this incredible machine. They wouldn't have to have rushed as much as they are right now in order to play catch up. So, unfortunately, it has to happen like this. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll talk about that, about the economics of this whole thing, about the gamble that DC's taking in a little bit. But I'm just happy to see these characters on the screen again. I am kind of fanboy-y happy to see them together on the screen, and I'm looking forward to that. This is what I wanted, but the thing is that it feels like an empty kind of victory for me, you know? I mean, I'll sit there and I'll watch the movie, I'll have a few nerdgasms, and I'll leave my money on the counter, and that's it. But I won't feel a thing afterwards.
There won't be much fulfillment.
No joy, no happiness, because they're like, no, you're this. I don't know, I mean, for me, a movie has to have a few elements. It has to, you know, have a good storyline. It has to, if it doesn't do that, it has to entertain me, and it has to be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be fun or entertaining, and I don't think the storyline is going to be great, but the thing is, it doesn't matter. The icons are on the screen.
Mm.
The icons I've wanted to see for years together. And, yeah, the costumes look okay. I don't mind. Just show me something that I saw and read in a comic book and that touched my life when I was 14.
Are you, because I know I'm a little worried that being that Ben Affleck is playing Batman, I'm a little worried that they're going to...
You don't like Ben Affleck, do you?
No. Well, I'm...
All right, so what are my prejudices?
I don't think he
did Hollywoodland, he wore the Superman costume, Hollywoodland, and he was killed, so you should be happy about that. I mean, come on. What?
I don't hate him, I just don't... I'm worried that they're going to try to have Batman win, and I think that's going to annoy me too much.
Did you read the comic book? The Dark Knight Returns? Did you read that? Because he does win.
But okay, you have to understand, though, there's only one time where Batman kind of wins. The rest of the time, Superman just Superman lets him go.
Superman's an idiot. He's a Boy Scout. And I feel really bad for Henry Cavill. Like, my movie. No, I want my own. Oh, okay, Batman. Oh, okay, Wonder Woman. Okay, Aquaman. No, this is his movie. It should be logically, but it's like, no, you're the only freaking tent post that we have. You know, we're building, you're the Robert Downey Jr. of our universe. But the thing is, he didn't do that well. Man of Steel was okay. I know you liked it, Monty.
I was more than happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because we got to see the Superman movie as if there were no other Superman movies. And yes, Christopher Reeve is in our thoughts every time we think about Superman. The iconic character is always going to be the premier. He's the Sean Connery, the James Bond.
Yes.
World.
And Brandon Routh is the George Lazenby.
Excellent
you
point.
Did that. That was whatever.
So now he's the Atom. So that's a career save for Legends of
that's
Tomorrow.
That's not a save.
It is for right now. But in fairness, the movie set out to do exactly what it needed to do. It made its own universe. There's a special special place in our hearts for the Christopher Reeve movies.
Yeah, you can't touch those.
Okay.
Yeah.
After number two, there is no more. after that. I don't care for Richard Pryor.
Poor phrasing.
And number three,
okay.
I don't care for the
Superman 4 Quest for Peace.
The Quest for Peace either. So
well, John Cryer's in that one. God,
wow. Well, that's why.
I know.
He's not Ducky.
Neither are you. Just saying.
But it did exactly what it needed to do. So I'm kind of okay with this universe. The only problem that I have, and this is just, again, my point on the DCU, is that because they said that the TV shows like Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and all that are not going to be connected to what you can see on a big
screen. You're a relatively successful franchise. Those things.
Right.
We're not going to bring the stars in here.
But, on Arrow, they killed off Amanda Waller, who was in charge of the Suicide Squad, and they killed off her character because what is going to be coming up after this movie?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So now that Flash is going to be coming out in a couple of years, the question is this going to happen to Grant, who is now running with Supergirl right now as we speak, because we're missing this episode, but that may happen to that character. But DC said,
run,
these
just
are
run.
Cross, go to Earth 2. They won't touch you there. They said, these universes will never touch, but yet they are. So my concern is like, they're rushing through to kind of get caught up, but I would rather have the multiple universe theory that you can have all these different versions of Batman, all these different versions of The Flash, and be fine with that, rather than everything being connected like with Marvel, and they all have connections to each other from Agent Carter to Ant-Man. They're all integrated.
Even the TV stuff.
Right, even the TV stuff. So
the placeholders, yeah, them too.
That's my worry, is that, yes, they're kind of playing catch-up, but then they're reconsidering their options, and that's something I don't like.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to hedge their bets.
I know, but it was ballsy for them to say, you know what, they're not connected, and I didn't like that, but then I'm like, no, it's the multiple universe theory. I
you're a fanboy.
I can accept
give
that.
Credits to good TV,
yeah,
and quality shows and average movies and then crappy movies, and you know, you'll take what you can get. I'm a little frightened.
He's unforgiving on Star Wars.
And the new Star Trek. Talk about the doctor someday. He'll talk your ear off. They lied to us. They lied. He was Khan.
Khan!
Khan! Fuck, shouldn't be doing that. I'm just saying.
I'll just stay quiet. Everyone knows my pain.
Let's pirate the show. Take over the show. Share your pain with me. I am Cybok.
I suck. All right.
Star Trek 5 episode.
I know. So let's move on to something that came out of the movie, which is with Rotten Tomatoes. Because the ratings that the critics gave Batman vs. Superman, which again, we have not seen, but just hearing what they said, what they gave it, which is a very, really bad score, 29%. Although the fans like it a lot more.
Do the fans like it?
They've given it like a 79-80% rating.
Didn't IMDb rate it higher?
I'm not sure. I didn't check IMDb. It was just more, I focused on Rotten Tomatoes because they were the first ones that I started reading about Thursday and Friday about their reviews. Not so much the details, but just kind of overall sense that critics didn't like this. So my question to both of you is in this day and age, do we need still to have critics to tell us that this is a good movie or not? Or should we just let the audience, like we've done, tell us, you know, do a podcast and tell us what you thought about the movie?
Even before we've seen it.
Right.
Brilliance. Genius.
So who wants to answer that question? Do we still need critics?
Well, I think that most people nowadays tend to not really pay much attention to critics as much as they'll go on YouTube and they'll watch somebody else's review and they'll get a fan base information versus the critics' information. So do we need them? No, not really. I mean, but we're always going to have them because ultimately they're the ones who control most of the awards, which is where, where we're going to have the issue if we did get rid of him or if we stopped listening to him.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, I feel that it doesn't matter what the critics say. The critics would say, this is absolute crap. And, you know, it's Batman and Superman. These are icons I've seen since I was 3 or 4 years old. I wore the underoos. You know, I've got to see this movie, whether you tell me it's good or bad. And in a weird way, I saw Fantastic for that reason, too, afterwards.
But the younger people may not have that same nostalgia.
The thing is, it's like McDonald's. It's like Mickey Mouse. These things are just staples in your life. It's like Coca-Cola. It's like Wrigley Spearmint Gum. It's like Bear Aspirin. They're always going to be there. You know what this is. And the fact that we're putting two of the biggest things you want together is pretty amazing.
It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
Together.
Together.
Hey, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter.
You got your Batman and my Superman.
You know, I'm not going to have
that. That's a whole different...
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
That's fan fiction
that's
stuff.
That's a different type of movie, Monty.
But I'm sure someone already directed it.
The thing is, it doesn't matter. People are going to see this movie. They've already seen this movie.
Yeah. Right.
The thing is, again, they're not going to see it again.
That's what...
Because the thing is...
Yeah.
Go ahead. The Rotten Tomato thing is, like, it's bad. I mean, visually, I'm sure it's stunning. Visually, I'm sure it's amazing. I'm sure that there are scenes straight out of the comic book that Zack Snyder was really good at in 300 and in The Watchmen. That panels right out of that scene on the live screen, that's amazing. But the storyline falls apart, and the thing that really, I think the reason it's getting all these negative ratings is it's not fun. It's heavy-handed. It's lecturing.
Yeah.
It doesn't care whether you're having a good time. It's like, we have all these damn characters to show you. And we have to do the whole conflict between Batman and Superman because this happens during Man of Steel, the whole introduction to Ben Affleck's character, which I think is brilliant. But then you've got that weight you've got to carry for 35 minutes to get them to be friends again. They have to fight. They have to have climactic scenes. And, oh, now there's a bigger threat. Oh, look, Lex Luthor. And I'm guessing. Then Lex Luthor told the body of General Zod and created the Doomsday thing. And then Wonder Woman shows up. And then Aquaman is somehow here. And then Cyborg makes a cameo. It's like, this is not fun.
Yeah.
I'm just jamming this down my throat. And I'm not having a good time.
It's like a movie forced.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is not comfortable for anyone. Because it has to be organic. It has to unwind naturally. There should be some humor, some joy, some revelations. No time for that. Characters, sequels, Justice League.
So you say this is like my reactions to Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
No.
Where I was just like, really? You're putting everything that you want to see on that screen and there's nothing for you.
They needed to do that, though.
Yeah.
Same reason why I think Superman has to do the exact same thing.
No, I kind of disagree on that. I think that they could have spaced it out a little more. I really think they could have spaced it out a little more. I think bringing in so many people, you're not going to have an attachment to the characters that you need to have a full commitment.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then again, we don't need to have an origin story like we've seen countless times with Spider-Man or with any other Marvel hero.
Years.
Yeah. Every other Marvel hero is an origin story.
Well, they're going to need to do an origin story for Wonder Woman.
Yes, but
and they will.
We don't necessarily have to start off right from point one, the day she was made out of clay. Day two, she's now a baby. We don't need to do that kind of story. The reason why I like Man of Steel, because we do get an origin story, but it's not a linear storytelling. It's done in flashbacks so that it's running together with the current storyline. So it flowed better for me just because it had a better impact. You didn't have to be weighted down like with the Christopher Reeve movie, which took over an hour before we got to be even in the suits, for him to do even something heroic.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that movie. That was a different time and is fine for what it is. But today's audience are not going to sit still for that.
No.
They need to have this universe created. Boom, here it is. We can talk about the characters afterwards.
Yeah.
But honestly, in this day and age, find me someone who doesn't know who the hell is Batman. Who the hell is Superman? Who the hell is Wonder Woman? I don't think you really need to spend all that time to say, I have to tell you who these characters are.
No.
We can do their own movie. We can talk about that then. But right now, let's just get this shit started and let's get to work.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense to me.
Definitely.
Your comments on that? Anything you need to say on that? Reaction?
I think that was the best reaction.
No, I don't know. I mean, the thing for me is I have a fear. And the sad thing is I know it's going to work. You know, again, they will not make blockbuster. They will make blockbuster money, but not mega blockbuster money.
It's not
going to
be Deadpool money.
Well, yeah, Deadpool money. Yeah, $58 million and we make buku money. Low budget, low expectations, great script. But Deadpool, I think we've all seen Deadpool. Yes.
You've
seen it, Tigger?
Yes.
Deadpool was great because it had a fair story, but a story that was fun and entertaining, right? The third act, completely crap. But you didn't care because you were already invested in the character.
Exactly.
Even though you've seen, like, wait, is that a S.H.I.E.L.D. mega carrier? Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. But it was. And the resolution, like, oh, wait, I've got to save you. Here, get in the thing. He drops the thing. Like, what is this? This is so boring. But, you know, you've seen it all before, and it's fine. With this, though, I mean, their idea, it's flawed in that they won't make quite as much money as they want. Because you make money when you have repeat business. Why has Titanic been...
Where they make money off of merchandise. And that could be the angle that they're going to push more so, is the merchandise. Especially with what's the rating on this? When the rating is, PG?
PG-13. And then we get a rated R version because of Deadpool coming out sometime. And digital download and DVD and Blu-ray sometime in the near future.
So with the PG-13, they're going to make money. They're going to make money off the merchandise. That's where they're going to make their money.
I think the toy companies make money off merchandise. I'm not sure the cinematic companies get... I mean, they get a cut, I'm sure.
Well, it's tied in. It's all tied in.
They're going to get a percentage.
But again, the thing is, like, they'll make their money because you have these big icons, but, again, it's hit or miss. I don't think I really want to see an Aquaman movie right now.
No.
Or a Cyborg movie. I don't... Those are side characters to me.
No,
I don't know. The Aquaman looks like he's going to be pretty damn badass.
You're just looking at his bare chest, aren't you?
Yes.
No, because
Architect of a sexy man. Here we go. Look at me. Now look at Aquaman. Now look at me. No.
Look at all those seamen.
What?
Okay, going back to the whole question with the critics. Not that I'm going to be the barometer of good taste, because God knows
you're not the barometer of good taste.
But I
do have your taste.
But I measure myself against what others say. If I'm aligned with them, then I can trust what they're going to say in the future as value. But when I look at the fact, like, movies that I've seen, they rated higher in points, I'm like, no, this does not work for me. For example, Spectre was rated a 64. I hated Spectre. The follow-up was a complete mess, and considering how much it took me to like Daniel Craig in Skyfall, and then just... piss it all away, Inspector, was a complete disaster.
You mean M in Home Alone?
There you go.
I'm sorry.
There's Peanuts, rated at 87%, which Gene liked.
I like Peanuts!
And I fucking hated that movie.
You know, I'm with you on that. It didn't pull for me that well. My kids loved it.
Yeah, exactly. But you and I have seen those jokes before. We've seen this done, but now to put it all in one movie, I'm like, stop doing that. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's really pissing me off. Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
75.
Now,
you know, it was not the Avengers that we wanted.
But it's the Avengers that we got.
Well, that's what we got. Not deserved.
Yeah,
we didn't deserve that. We had Thor, Dark World, 66%. I hated that fucking movie. Gene liked it. So in other words,
Natalie Portman's hot.
I'm saying Jane
Gettings is hot.
I don't like
it. It wasn't that bad, Monty.
No.
It was disgusting.
It was fun. It did have a story, but it was fun.
But it was fun. It was entertaining. It was.
I mean, there's entertainment when you leave your brain at the door, and I'll do that for any movie that gets me with their premise, you know? Leave your brain at the door, just have a good time. Deadpool, perfect example of that. But again, the Man of Steel, no. Not amusing, lecturing, dark, not funny, not amusing, just like, this is Superman. He's suffering. He's been a stranger all his life.
He's an
no one has ever understood him. Like, this is not fun. This is kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually did like that movie, though.
Ah. Was it because of Henry Cavill's bare chest when he's on fire and the whole thing? Come on, let's go. Come on. No.
So the last two.
I think they got you emotionally attached enough to care.
Yeah. Star Wars, Force Awakens was a 92%.
Yay.
I like it, Monty.
I know you and I, Tigger, talked at length about this, about why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Or rather say, I hated it at first. I don't hate it as much. So
you're not going to get another one for a year, so you'll learn to like it later.
No, it'll be later this year. That's Rogue One. And then, of course, my favorite, 87% for Star Trek Into Darkness, which was, again, fucking disaster. So fuck Rotten Tomatoes and saying that that movie is going to be better than Batman vs. Superman. In fact, they rated Dune, the 1984 movie by David Lynch, which was a complete mess, at 54% compared to Batman. I beg to differ. I haven't even seen the movie, and I know what Dune is. It's a hot mess. I've grown to appreciate Dune for what David Lynch tried to do, but that's no fucking way that I would rate it that high. So, fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I think the idea here is basically this. This is based on subjective opinions on, let's say, 100 critics, but your results may vary. You know, just like anything else, just like prescription medications. If you're suffering from this, you're just suffering in your life from cynicism, depression,
gonorrhea,
anything else, right? You may not be in the mood to see this movie. So
leakage.
That would ruin the movie experience. Too much butter on your popcorn. A date gone bad. Some girl who you liked who's not liking you while you see this movie.
Night
a bad choice of a movie. Any of these things. But again, this is what we rate this movie, and your results may vary according to your own situation and your own timeline.
Diarrhea.
You know, because I mean, come on, we've all seen movies like after a hard day at work, your family or your boyfriend, your girlfriend sits and goes, "Come on, let's see this movie. I really want to see the movie." You're like, "I'm really not in the mood," but they force you to go because you're trying to be nice, and you go to see the movie, and you're not in the mood to watch the movie, and you don't have a good time.
Yeah.
You fall asleep. You're not thinking, "This is great." He's like, "Yay," or she's like, "Yay." You're like, "I don't know what happened."
Yeah.
But it's whatever it is. But a good movie will stand out. It will re-energize you. I don't think, well, I can imagine some times in my life where I would enjoy Deadpool. But Deadpool, from the beginning, from the opening credits, with the weird, you know.
Right, it has to set its own tone.
Right.
And you can accept the universe right from the very beginning. That's one thing.
Right.
And you can go along with that. You can, like you said, check it. Chuck your brains out the door and you're fine.
There are movies you need to do that with.
But and there's some that you go in there, I'm like, this is not what I expected. Star Wars was one of them. Star Trek is another. And that's again, we'll go from there.
Monty, you hold yourself to a higher rating.
Just
you're
like
the Hebrew National
hot dogs.
Uncle Sam. God.
All right. So, putting that aside, out of, let's say, the Batmans. We have
Batmans.
Keaton.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have Val Kilmer, Clooney, and Bale. And, of course, now Batfleck, which we haven't seen, so he's not going to be part of this. Who, to you, is the best Batman out of those collections of Batmen? Who's the worst one?
Tigger, you go first. I'm throwing you into the fire. You go first!
I'm not going to go first.
Very dangerous. Batman question. You first. No,
Tigger?
I'm thinking.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so you take it, Gene.
It's a dream cast. Just thinking.
Go.
I don't know. Adam West is campy, but that's TV. That doesn't
that's
count.
TV. He's actually,
I'm going to go for Kevin Conroy. The voice of Kevin Conroy is my Batman.
He's actually my favorite, believe it or not, is Adam West.
Animated series and the Arkham Asylum thing.
Have you seen him lately?
Physically, I don't need to see him.
He looks nothing like that voice.
But he's still getting the check.
Yes, he is. Good for Kevin. So
that would be, because I like Christian Bale's Batman, because it was based in reality, kind of, you know, the army tech. It's a rover. It's not, you know, something weird. I like the science of that, but God damn it, the lozenge. Just give him a lozenge. Why are you doing that horrible voice?
Where's Rachel?
Rachel! No, don't. Otherwise, I don't know. So I'm going to put him toward the top. God, I'm so embarrassed.
Okay.
By that, then I like Ben Affleck's character. I do.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but I think he fits. Sorry. Okay. Even though he dumped and broke Jennifer Garner's heart, and they have two kids and whatever.
Well, you find out what it was in his wallet. The nanny. No.
Hey, she can do Thriller, all right? Someone say.
So, for me... Yeah, sorry.
Take it. No, go.
No, for me, it's kind of a toss-up between Keaton and Bale. Keaton being the first, I think, had the hardest job of proving the fact that a comedian or a comedic actor could pull off being Batman, and he did.
Prince did the soundtrack.
I know.
You like Prince.
I know. No, but again, when the casting news came down, this is before the internet really...
Mr. Mom, I remember
yeah,
all
I was
that.
Was like, what the fuck are you talking about, Michael Keaton as Batman?
He did pretty well.
He was fantastic. But then again, you know...
So 1989, yeah, fine.
But then again, when Tim Burton was planning to do Superman, who the fuck did he want? Nicolas Cage.
That would have been terrible.
And there is footage of him wearing this weird-ass suit.
And a giant spider.
And a giant spider.
And so, I was well rested. Guess what's in there?
So there's moments in which, I got that Tim Burton is good at getting...
Something.
Yeah. But that idea of having Superman and Nicolas Cage was not good. So, but again... out of courtesy, Keaton wins first, then Bale, and then George and Val fight for last.
Holy rusted metal, Batman! What?
At least Clooney knows going in that this is really campy, whereas Val and his lips, I could not stop watching his lips.
That was just horrific. That was just wrong on all points.
That was a hot mess.
The bat signal is not a beeper? Is that his line?
Oh, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's... Oh, jeez. Or the back...
Yes, Nicole Kidman, you're hot now.
Climbing
but...
up the wall. How did it get down? Who the fuck knows?
Miss Buster said that wasn't possible.
So, now, of course, we go to the opposite side. Tigger, did you want to do the Batman yet or no?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Come on! Come on, contribute! Give us something!
All right, well, out of the... I mean, definitely, I would say Bale would be my number one out of all of them, even though his voice did get rather annoying.
Yeah.
And then...
Let it go!
He would definitely be up there for me, because I like his acting the best out of all of them, I think. I just can't get into the other ones.
Yeah.
I just can't. I'm hoping Ben Affleck will change my mind. We'll see. I mean, the one thing, I mean, if he can do a good, darker, brooding, older Batman and do it well, then there's hope. We'll see.
Okay.
You know?
Now,
there's a new hope.
There's a new hope.
Finish that drink.
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. Again. All right.
When the Emperor strikes back.
Oh, my God.
The Revenge of the Sith. It'll be a part of the Jedi. It'll be fine.
You know it's getting late, right? So the Superman, I think it's kind of a no-brainer that we all agree.
Christopher Reeve.
And then we have between Cavill and Ralph.
Who and who?
What about George Reeves?
George Reeves doesn't count.
What about Ben Affleck as George Reeves?
Brandon Ralph, who was Superman Return. And then Cavill. So... between the two?
The new guy.
Cavill.
The new guy.
because he's hairy.
The guy got screwed out of his own movie, yeah. I want to like him, but I'm like, I don't know if he can do comedy. I just...
No, he can.
Man from U.N.C.L.E., really?
He has potential.
The Tudors? Potential. You're just looking at his abs.
And he looked good with a beard.
There you go.
Wait, how far down did the beard go? I don't care. Never mind. Didn't answer that question.
Down his back.
Yeah, his back. So he took the beard from his back and then made more rope?
Yeah.
How did that work?
That's how you got off the island.
I see.
All right. So the next question is going to be the MCU versus, hopefully, the DCU. Which is the better franchise? So who wants to answer that one? Gene, Tigger, me.
You!
Me!
I nominate you! You go first, Monty.
All right.
Your show.
Putting it in the context of movie-wise, Marvel has the edge. TV-wise, even though Marvel has Agent Carter, it has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it has Daredevil, it has Jessica Jones, it does not compare to what DC has done with The Flash, Arrow, Constantine that was on for one season.
It does not compare?
No, it does not compare because it's a better franchise.
Well, nothing compares to you, Monty.
Shut
sorry.
That. Lucifer is also on
there. 16 hours and 15 seconds.
Legends of Tomorrow. So, DC wins on that point. When it comes to animated direct-to-DVDs, Marvel sucks balls on that. DC has always been top-notch. Regardless of whatever it is a much better product. Now, unfortunately, when you add everything up, the only thing that Marvel really has an edge over DC is the fact that their movies are much better because they have a bigger cast to work with. So I'm still, I don't want to say I'm a DC boy here, but I'm going to give the edge to DC as a property that has room to grow, whereas Marvel has room for improvement.
So you're saying that DC is one to grow on?
Well, and then the more you know.
Yeah, thank you.
DC's got the edge because they've got Mark Hamill doing the voice for the Joker, so you got to love that.
Yeah, they've got the moves like Jagger. Sorry.
That's Jet Jaguar.
Jet Jaguar.
So that's my two cents on that. So even though I love both franchises and we both benefit from them tremendously, I think the edge to me, DC is a better product even though the movies are weaker.
You're like a Dodgers fan, aren't you?
No, that's a Mets fan.
You like the underdog.
No,
yeah, the
Mets fan.
But I think from a toy franchise, Marvel beats them.
Are you a toy collector, Tigger?
Huh?
Are you a toy collector?
I got kids.
No.
You have baby goats?
No,
what?
No. Let's say you collected for yourself, too, at
yeah,
one point.
I did. But, I mean, so. I collect different types, but when I look at the quality of what's out there as far as collectibles, Marvel has a wider variety that I can see. Now, DC is starting to get that because now they're starting to kind of expand with, you know, the Batman and the Superman. But up until now, you saw mostly Marvel available.
Right.
I challenge that. Have you been to the comic book store lately? Have you been to Tate's? There are a lot of, I mean,
But you're looking at high end. You're looking at high end. If you're looking at what the average consumer is going to purchase, if you walk into a Toys R Us, if you walk into any of those types of stores, you're going to see mostly Marvel.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you go to comic books, there's a lot of DC product out there. There's a Felicity Smoke figure for gosh sakes out there. There's a Diggle figure out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's DC's cranking them out. You just can't get them at your local retailer. But it's out there, believe me. And I say that as a recovering toy collector who's just not able to stop. But on the other hand, I don't know. I think that, getting back to your question, Monty, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I think the MCU is kicking. It's going to keep kicking. I mean, everyone will watch the DC stuff, but they won't have the fondness and the joy.
Not yet.
You know, of the pieces that come together. I don't know. It's going to be a fragmented thing. It's going to be a love-hate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the DC thing is just, all right, you're the underdogs. You are clearly the underdogs. You took this Hail Mary pass that you're hoping that America, that mainstream, that the world, the cinematic world will catch. And sure, we'll all watch it once, but it's not going to be a pretty game. You know, we're going to have, it's disjointed. It's not fun to watch. Again, you're cramming this down my throat. Hopefully, after you've gotten this taste of these characters, you'll come back. You'll make the money. They're going to make the money, but they're not going to have the secret, that peace, the spirit of harmonious unity throughout everyone, where everyone is fully developed. And you know, like, Steve Rogers needs to watch Star Wars and this. Find it varies in different countries,
right.
You know, in the Winter Soldier. You're not going to get that understanding of these characters.
I know, but again, you're focusing on a segment of that bigger picture. When I look at DC, everything else is much more superior. So movie-wise.
But we quote the segments.
No, movie. Marvel,
the kids relive the segments.
Marvel has the edge with movies. But after that, There's nothing else supporting that foundation.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I know. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm sorry, your Agent Carter is a placeholder.
I love Agent Carter.
No one's watching Agent Carter.
I'd rather watch that than fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know you do.
I'd rather watch Jessica Jones than watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Jessica Jones is not a bad show.
Jessica Jones is not a bad show.
It is, but it's
not what you expected. After Daredevil, Daredevil was like, yeah, beat him. But Jessica Jones was a more personal, you know, it appealed more to, I think, to women who have gone through some trauma. And it's a hard show to watch. It's not easy because the PTSD thing, you know, the victimization.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a damn good show. It just wasn't what I was expecting either. But after a while, after digesting, I'm like, no, that was pretty good. I like that.
So, Sager, you're going to have to break the battle. Break the line here.
Decide! Choose!
Team DCU or Team MCU?
Come on, baby. I'm counting on you.
Don't
come on.
Don't punk out.
Don't be afraid of him. It's his show, but come on.
Remember, I've known you longer.
I respect you.
Yeah. You're pretty, Tigger. I like you.
I feel like the kid in the middle of two battling parents. No, I think because Marvel has such a good following, like they have such good movies established and they have such a good following right now, I think that they're going to be in there. They would be leading for us right now, I think.
They're the way it's supposed to be done, I think. Slowly.
Yeah.
Backstories. Respect for the characters.
Yeah.
And fun. I laughed during Ant-Man. I laughed during Guardians of the Galaxy. I laughed during the Avengers. I was unhappy during Age of Ultron. I was unhappy during... Well, I was happy... No, I wasn't quite as happy through Winter Soldier, but that was okay. It was just, you know, a filibuster, but it was fine.
Okay, so thanks for joining us, Tigger. Have a good night.
But I do like DC's... I like DC's cartoons more. Their cartoon series are always much better than Marvel.
I don't think Marvel's doing anything anymore with the anime.
They've done Guardians,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
I don't watch that.
And the
Disney.
Kids still. I know my kids still watch the Marvel's Hero Squadies and things like that, like little spin-off shows that they do.
There's a girl line of DC stuff that's coming out that has action figures and dolls out that I'm not saying I bought, but. I mean, if I were going to buy them,
not that I'm saying that I touched them.
Or
have
been dressed inappropriately. No, I wouldn't do that at all. I'm just saying,
not
you know,
saying that
if I got drunk,
them.
I've had a bad day at work. I'm
saying there are no pictures out there on the internet that saw me doing anything.
Although Teen Titans has really grown on me as a show.
Yes,
I agree. That's actually really been, even the Teen Titans Go series has been pretty cute. I like that one too. Yeah.
Sure you don't want to change your mind, Tigger?
I like Young Justice.
I know, I'm starting to think.
Nope, done.
Again, I'm trying to say here is that movies to movies, Marvel has the edge, but overall, the big franchise...
Doesn't matter, Monty.
DC... I'm trying to win a fucking argument. Shut
up. Okay.
DC has a better brand than Marvel right
now. They can't pull out of the stables. You may have a thoroughbred there, but it's going to die. In the mother, what's
going on? They're
all
going to die. We're all going to have White Castle hamburgers afterwards.
White Castle hamburgers.
But their fries only come...
I need to get up to the alcohol and go to something else.
Good. Oi. All right. So, we're almost done with the podcast. Because we all have to work tomorrow.
Man, working in a coal mine. Yeah. Ooh, I am so tired.
Man. How long can this go on?
Apparently a long time.
In a galaxy far, far away.
No. Space.
I am a dork. The final frontier.
All right. So the final question, not the final frontier.
What's the final Jeopardy question, Monty?
Who would win in a fight?
Superman.
Yes, Superman.
Me and my foot with
you
your face.
My ass. Yeah.
Your ass. So the question is, we know that without revealing, Superman and Batman still live because they have to do Justice League, so there's not going to be a point there. But if we're going to put all our money on a bet, who would you give the edge to? Superman, Batman?
Marvel.
Fuck you and Marvel.
Come on, it's Superman. Batman cannot physically beat Superman. It just cannot physically happen. It's just not going to happen. Even with his boots, it's not going to happen.
Plus, he's a new character that you're just meeting in this movie. He's a nice guy.
No,
plus,
no.
In the preview,
shut
Lois,
the fuck up.
You don't owe them anything.
Shut up. Who would you fucking kill?
What? What kind of a question?
Who
is
would
that?
You kill off?
Lex Luthor.
Superman or Batman? Who would take each other out? Who is the one that would win?
They're heroes.
It's
they don't kill each other.
That's not the point.
It's
That's the question.
It's already been proven that neither one of them will be taken out because ultimately Superman's always going to be more powerful and his moral character will not allow him to kill Batman. So that the point is moot.
No, it's not.
The point is moot.
Thank you. Because Batman will always may not be physically able to take him out. He will find a way, and I said this before in the first part of the trilogy podcast, is that Batman is more devious, whereas Superman is more naive.
You don't know this Batman.
No.
You don't know this Batman.
No. I'm not talking about this Batman. I'm just talking about my Batman in general. My Batman would
take out...
It's a different
character.
Would take out Superman. Okay?
He does it all the time.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Hush.
No.
Dark Knight Returns.
You're not...
Batman always wins.
Batman...
they both win. I'm just saying, in this argument, if it came down to one of them having to die, who would be the winner in this fight? Okay? And in the last podcast, it was Josh and David were talking about, well, it's obvious. Superman can just fuck him, nuke him from orbit, and that's it. He will never see it coming.
Only way to be sure.
There's only way to be sure, but he will never see it coming. Whereas, if Batman was in close quarters, he would find a way to stop Superman, just like in The Dark Knight Returns, in which he had Arrow use a kryptonite arrow, in which Superman
dispersed the
kryptonite
dust,
into his
body.
And gave him the edge to kind of kick the shit out of Superman.
And it happens again in Hush.
But ultimately, Superman still was the winner, even in that one. Batman just slinks away into the underground. So again, Batman still doesn't technically win.
I'm just saying again to the point.
What do you want us to say?
No, there is one winner. One is standing victorious, regardless of what you saw on the TVs, regardless of read in the books. If they came down to a fight and one of them had to die, who would die? If it's Batman, fine. If it's Superman, I give him my reason.
It's going to be Batman.
Yeah, Batman's going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I wanted.
He's immortal. What do you want? Superman's freaking going to kill him. He's in the Yellow Sun universe. What do you want?
But on
can
a,
take a nuclear
but
blast?
On a cloudy day,
on rider writes on him.
Superman can just
he has new powers now. He can be human for one day.
He's a flashlight. That's all he is.
He's a flashlight.
Thank you for this subjective podcast, Monty. You try to manipulate your guest into saying what you wanted to hear.
So anyway,
Batman,
this is fun.
Yeah.
Here we go, Monty. Batman will win because he will be able to kill Superman, whereas Superman wouldn't morally be able to kill Batman. Is that what you want to hear?
Okay, I can go with that.
But the writers can kill Superman with the stroke of a pen.
But we all know that that would never happen.
David Goyer can kill Superman with one line.
Oh, no. That was a great scene. That was a brilliant scene. Having Superman in Man of Steel kill Zod.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant.
That was very...
Where is that family afterwards? Were they holographic?
That was the other thing.
they just disappear.
I've watched Man of Steel again.
No, don't do it. Please.
And I'm like...
Where'd they go?
I don't see, like, a shadow of their former self. I guess they survived, so is he crying because he didn't save them in time? Or he crying because he killed Zod?
And I'm sorry, Lois Lane, you were across town. How did you get here so quickly? I don't know.
She hopped on a bus.
A bus.
There we go.
The double Dutch bus.
Shut up. So, Tigger, you saw Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you think that shot of him killing Zod, is it because he's crying because he actually committed murder? Yeah. Or do you think... Yeah.
Don't forget, this is the man who destroys a truck for hundreds of thousands of dollars because a man threw a beer at him.
So? You're saying he has anger management issue?
I honestly do think that the reason why he's crying is because he killed him and he never intended, he didn't want to kill him. Look at how many times he had the opportunity previously to take him out and he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing to me, though, is the choice that he gets when General Zod is there and then the whatever, the, what's it called that he's looking for, the Matrix? Whatever, it's here and Superman gets a choice. We can rebuild Krypton here on Earth. He's like, Krypton had its choice. It had its time. I'm like, wait, hell out. You can rebuild Krypton now if you want to.
But what sacrifice?
Yeah, but he's been on Earth too long. He's like, no, we had our time. We're done. I'm going to go for the Earthlings. Yay, Earthlings. And I'm going to beat the crap out of you. It's kind of like, do you think that's
it's a whole nature versus nurture thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly. But no one thinks about that.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, no, this isn't fun.
But what I liked about this is you set up the whole reason why Superman would not kill again, or at least why he would never, like, take someone out with his laser beams.
But why did he help some girl get a cat out of the tree? That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, she got smacked in the face, so
yeah,
look what 50, happened.
Yeah, 50,000 people died in Metropolis. Fine, it was Sunday.
No. The thing is that, you know, he's held himself back for all these years, and he had to commit this ultimate point in his life of killing someone. And granted, there was destruction around left and right.
Left and right, right and left, up and down, north and south, and on the other poles, don't forget that.
But that's not the point. The death of this one character really put something in him that is stronger than Kryptonite.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of why you never saw Kryptonite. His moral center is really based on his upbringing by his parents.
I understand that.
And that was really strong. So for him to go that extra mile and to do this was something to say that this is a better character for Superman, because the next movie, you know how he's going to really do everything he can to make up for that one thing that he did in which he killed Zod.
Yeah, that's going to be his point of view, but the point of view that we're generally going to be following is going to be Ben Affleck's point of view, because we've got to pick up his thing, because there's going to be a conflict. And again, I'm not looking forward to seeing Batman versus Superman. I hope to be conscious. I hope to be sober. I hope to be...
Unlike now.
Well, yeah. Talk about Batman versus Superman. I really want it to work, but I know it's not going to... It can't possibly work
again
for me, because I'm not a normal person. I'm not a person that...
Oh, shit, Gene.
I'm not a person that just sees three movies a year. I've studied this stuff. I grew up with this stuff. You know what I mean? These characters mean a lot to me. And the representation of them, sure, Zack Snyder may be faithful, but the thing is, it's too much, you know? There's supposed to be little mini joys throughout time.
I know.
To give me, like, here's seven joys, and there's too much joy for you to possibly process in your mind too quickly, too soon. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like, here, I'm weekend daddy. I know you like vanilla ice cream, and you'd be happy with just vanilla and chocolate, but here's 12 different flavors in a kitchen sink thing for you to enjoy. It's not fun. You eventually get sick. You know what I mean? It's just too much in one sitting. And that's I think, what the real danger is. You'll enjoy it, and you'll be okay with it. You'll have a strange memory of it, but it's not going to last. You know? It's not going to be iconic, like simple joys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Vanilla, chocolate. Rather than 12 different things.
Yeah,
but Jane, I'm sorry, Tigger, but the one thing I wanted to say is that sometimes when you have those joys, sometimes they come with almonds, and sometimes they don't.
Wow. You went there. Unbelievable.
Sometimes
you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't. That's what
sometimes
I'm saying.
Sometimes you're psychotic, and sometimes you're just a normal person that doesn't want to hurt anyone.
So, thank you for that, Gene.
No problem.
You set me up so well. I was like literally holding my breath because I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
I could see the anticipation all the way over here.
I know, and I'm sorry, Tigger.
I loved it. No, but I totally agree with Gene because I really, like I said, I mean, I was apprehensive when I first saw that they're bringing Wonder Woman in so early to begin with because I think they're not going to give you enough time. I think it's maybe too rushed. Wonder Woman should have been. I think they're doing too much to try to appease what they feel the audience may need, because, you know, they want to be able, they want to be able to compete with Black Widow. They want to be able to have that strong female character in DC right off the bat. And I don't think the true, like, anybody who's like a long-term fan, I don't think they would have mind waiting for her to be brought at a later time. But I think that they're rushing it and bringing her out too quickly. So they're going to form the Trinity before they get the rivalry, which I don't know how well that's going to work.
But the interesting thing to me is this. Let's see what history shows. Let's see what the first successful female superhero movie is. We know that DC is already filming the new Wonder Woman movie back in like the 1930s, which doesn't make sense with this movie, but let's let that go for now, because Pine is Steve Trevor. But I want to see who makes the most successful female superhero movie, because it's never been done before. And that's a sad thing about our society, really. You know, I'm embarrassed that women don't get paid as much as men, that women often get taken advantage of at mechanics and more male-dominated areas. That's sad. I want to see something amazing. Show me a world. But so watch this. Follow this idea. Who's going to be the breakout, you know, female superhero? Who is the superhero or person that your daughter wants to dress up next Halloween? It's a question. It's an ongoing question, because that, when it happens, it's going to be groundbreaking. It should be. You know what I mean? It may not be the first.
They saw parts of that. They saw parts of that with Storm and with Rogue and with characters like that.
But it's not. Okay.
Not
Wonder Woman
standing on
its
own.
To have a standalone.
I want to see girls dressing up and being empowered. I want to see, because that will change society. You know what I mean? To have young women, to have teenage girls sit there and go, this is cool, you know, to stand up for ourselves. And it's a strange thing to say in this podcast, but the idea is of equality and just, you know, finally someone said it.
Well, and I
someone
think,
got me.
I think that Wonder Woman will be that character. I just don't think that now would have been the way to release it. I think that they should have waited. You know what I mean? I think that they're still rushing it into this movie.
I know. And again, we can go on and on about that point, and that's fine. But I think it's best that we're going to end this podcast and then talk about this.
I got more whiskey.
You can do your own podcast.
After we've seen the movie, and hopefully we'll be proven wrong, and Wonder Woman will be amazing, and everything will be joy, joy, happy, happy.
There you go.
Enjoy her 3.5 minutes. I'm just saying. I thought she was with you.
You know
no
what you can do? I know what I can do in 3.5 minutes.
That's all it takes you?
Twice.
Oh, wow! We throw that in!
Sorry, Tigger.
It's all right. I feel bad for your wife.
Oh! Zing!
Yeah, but I didn't say anything about my wife. Ba-da-bam!
That made me sad.
That was good. Oh. That was good.
All right, so
close the show.
I'm going to close the show. So I want to thank you, Tigger, for being our guest.
Thank you, Monty and Gene.
You're awesome sauce. Love you. You need to talk more next time.
Okay.
fight for the mic.
And then, of course, Mr. Gene, being my great co-host, who, again, I can't do the show without him, even though he says I do a good job without him.
You do it with or without me.
I know.
With or without me.
With or without you.
Yes.
All right. Good. So, on the topic of Wonder Woman, since this leads in perfectly.
Pitch it.
Part 3, which has already been recorded, which I did with my wife, we'll be talking about Wonder Woman from the earliest beginnings of her to the countless times we've tried to adapt this hero to the big screen and failed. So we will have that ready for you by the end of the week, in addition to this podcast. So I think this conversation really leads into this third podcast. I'm glad it did that finally, because it's an underrated character. The one thing that I brought up and I forgot to mention was that Superman, when he turned 75, he got a big production. You saw that trailer that literally made me cry, having all the different Supermen and the music changing, and I'm like, that's brilliant. Batman turned 75. Okay.
Superman morphed into more characters than Michael Jackson in the black and white video. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But Wonder Woman is 75 years old. Yeah. What have we seen from her? What have we?
I got 20 minutes of Linda Carter spins.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, 20 minutes?
I saw that.
There's a 10-minute version and there's a 20-minute version.
Yeah.
I'm a big Linda Carter fan.
Again, 3.5 minutes. See?
Twice.
So, please.
Set him up. Do it again.
Please give a listen to that. So, before we go.
Ooh, when you feel the spin.
There we go. You get that.
Round and round.
Round and round.
Yeah.
Origamis. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Go to the Monster Sci-Fi Show page on Instagram. I'll be having more origamis as time goes on, only because there's a library event. We're going to be doing a Comic-Con event coming up in May.
Ooh.
I'm going to be doing a table in which I'll be doing origamis for the teens. So, again, I'm going to be working my ass off to get more stuff done and pictured. So, if you see any of them you like, you can email me. Where, Mr. Gene?
Oh, shit, I don't know.
Oh, damn it! The second time you email me!
MonsterSciFiShow.com.
MonsterSciFiShow@gmail.com.
Yeah, that one.
God damn it. All right. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and
MonsterSciFiShow.gmail. Wow.
Just edit this out. Shut it. So I can go home now. All right. So, thank you to everyone. Thank you for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.